Prior to all, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Yud Ches. As many of you have pointed out to me, we are still on Yud Zayin Amud Beis 17b, and yes, we have a lot of catching up to do. I got it, but I am up to the task. Where's a good right? No, because I know there's some who have davening at 9 o'clock. So we're gonna do this. We're picking up at the Gemara. I don't believe we started the Gemara. Is that correct? Pick up at the Gemara Meretz Hashem on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Halfway down on the daf, but just before we get started, last night was a very important evening for our shul and a very important evening for our daf film, because one of our own members of the daf, one of our seasoned members of the daf, Uncle Mike, was one of the grand prize winners. He won $15,000 or a car. Before the donation, that's the gross amount. That's the gross amount. That's pre-membership dues, building fund, and everything else. He will walk away with 2 times chai, but Uncle Mike Mazel Tov, couldn't have happened to a better guy. He's good with the shul. Absolutely, he's going to share with the shir. Yes, and he'll be picking up guys for the daf in his new car in Meretz Hashem. He's buying a 16-seater van, and in Meretz Hashem, he's going to. All right, Devos, let's begin. Ani Vashir. I don't think we have a... the Talmud Torah sponsorship is running out. Okay. Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Tammuz is open. Has not yet been claimed, if you would like. Wow. Okay. Plenty. Good. The shiurim and the drushas for the it's great. Our shiurim and our drushas for the month of Tammuz are sponsored by Uncle Mike. In honor of. All right, we'll get back to that. Good. Shkach, Uncle Mike, thank you. Says the Gemara, Ani Vashir. Supposed to remember again, the Mishnah says something amazing. The Mishnah explained we are in Yuzayin Amud Beis 17b at the Gemara. Yes, that high up on the daf, right? So we'll say, remember again, the Mishnah explained the following idea, that whether a person was poor and became rich, or rich and became poor, ultimately, again, they give the erchin as if they were rich, so to speak, as if they had complete funds, or total funds, to be able to satisfy the obligations. Says the Gemara, Ani v'hashir, asher tosig yad, asher tosig yad hanoder. So we'll say, if the vower, right, the person who made the erchin vow, was poor and then became rich, so asher tosig yad hanoder. The pasuk says, that which the noder, that which the person is making the vow, is able to go ahead and perform. Since now he's rich, he's able to give money. Asher v'ani, similarly if he was rich and then became poor, api asher tosig. So we'll say, essentially what the Gemara is dashing over here, is the lashon of asher tosig essentially says, that if at any point in time in this erchin process you had wealth, then we assess you as if you are someone who currently possesses wealth. Even if you subsequently lost that wealth, at the end of the day you must pay the complete erchin vow. Rabbi Huda says, "Afilu ani v'hashir v'chazer v'ani nosin erech asher." Rabbi Huda takes this a step further. He says, even if the vower was poor, then became rich, and then became poor again, Aloha lemaisa, he still has to go ahead and pay like a rich person. So I'll say, just to be clear, I know you know this point, but it's good for Chazara. When we say pay like a rich person, so remember again, an erchin vow is a fixed amount, right? There's a fixed amount. It depends on gender and age. But otherwise, so when we say assess like a rich person, what that means is you pay the full value of the erchin. As opposed to a poor person, if a person is poor, and let's say I'm a poor person, I made an erech vow, and I go to the kohen and I say, listen, I can't pay the entire amount of that vow, so the kohen makes an assessment and gives me some reduced amount. A sliding scale, right? But depending on my personal financial circumstances. What Rabbi Yehuda says is that halacha lemaisa, as long as you had money at some point in time in this erchin value, this erchin process, even if you were poor, then became rich, and then lost all of your money, you still have to pay the complete erech vow. Now, Rabbi said, what does it mean to pay the complete erech vow? Essentially, what happens? You pay it off over time. You pay it off from the base of mitzvah, which is no different than any other creditor. If you can't pay off the entire amount now, so ultimately, again, you go ahead and you pay it off You pay it off at different times. Or I should say over time. My time, Rabbi Yehuda, what's Rabbi Yehuda's logic? I'm a kra. V'imachu me'erkecha. So we'll say the pasuk says, imachu me'erkecha, if he, talking about the erchim vow, if he is poor, and therefore cannot pay off the entire erech vow, so we make accommodations. Rabbi Yehuda darshins, achiv makusu mitchilasa va'at sofo. This only applies to someone who is poor from beginning to end. In other words, only if you were poor throughout the erchim process, do you get a reduced amount. But if at some point in time in the erchin process you had wealth, then what's the halacha? You pay, so to speak, as someone with means. Elamiata, well, if that's the case, elamiata vimdal hu hachanami. So we'll say, so the pasuk says by mitzora, right? If a person is a mitzora, so if he's poor, he has to bring certain lesser karbanos. So the same lashon imdalhu. So does imdalhu mean ad shebadalusu mitchilasa vatzofo, that the only mitzora who could bring a lesser carbon is one who was poor from beginning to end? Maybe you'll say that indeed is the case, but that's not true. Yet Rabbi Shimon says, when it comes to Mitzora, your financial situation is assessed when? At the time you bring your Chatos. In other words, Rabbi says, what we do is we take your, this is for Tzaras, for Mitzora, we take your financial snapshot at the time you are bringing your Chatos. If at the time you're bringing your Chatos you are poor, then you could bring a poor man's carbon. If at the time of your chatos you are wealthy, even if you were poor when you begin this, when you began this mitzvah process, we will assess you ultimately again as a wealthy person. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Hakol holy achar asham." Rabbi Yehuda says, "No. We don't assess your financial situation at the time of the chatos. We assess it at the time of the asham." So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda kol achar asham. Tanya Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, hakol olich achar tziporim. Rabbi Lezer says everything goes after when you bring the bird offerings. Now both say. Now, these three opinions argue as to when we assess your financial snapshot, but they're all agreeing that what? That it's assessed somewhere at the end of this process, that it's only assessed at the time you're bringing a carbon. They are arguing as to which carbon we are going to assess your financial snapshot at. The same pasuk. What's the pasuk? Asher lo tasig yado b'tarasso. The pasuk says, who is the poor person who could bring a diminished carbon for tzaras? The one whose hand is unable to acquire in his purification process. So we'll say, so what they argue about is, what is the definition of taraso? Rabbi Shimon Savar, Davar HaMechaper. Rabbi Shimon ultimately holds, it is a Davar HaMechaper, which is what? Ma'nihu Chatos. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Davar HaMachshir, U'ma'nihu Asham. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Savar, Hagorim lo Tara, that which caused him to be Tar, U'ma'nihu Tziporim. So we'll say, but the point over here is what? Even though we just said before that when it comes to Erchin, Rabbi Yehuda darshin, imachu, if he is poor. And the way Rabbi Yehuda darshin is, machu means what? Poor throughout the entire process. If you are poor from the beginning of the Erchin process to the end of the Erchin process, that's when we will reduce your Erchin liability. But if at any point in time in the process you had wealth, you are no longer, what's the word? Eligible, thank you. You are no longer eligible for the reduced Erchin liability. So the Gemara says, okay, I guess that means every time you see a Lashon of who, it means the status has to be the same throughout the process. Look at Mitzora. Imdalhu. So maybe Imdalhu means what? Imdalhu maybe means that Halacha L'maisa what? That ultimately, again, only if he's poor throughout the process can he bring a diminished carbon. We see that's not true. There's a machlokas as to when we assess the financial picture of the Mitzora, but one thing is clear, which is what? It's somewhere at the end of this process. Even if he had wealth in the beginning, but subsequently lost that wealth, we assess him at the end. So if that's the case, ve'elohu lamali, so why do I need the who? So we'll say, okay, both Rebbe and Rabbanon will darshan the who for different reasons. Ela me'ata, but using this logic, v'hu aid. We both say, this is talking about by Shavua Sa'idus. The halacha is, if someone sees testimony, right, they are obligated to give that testimony. And if they are called upon to give that testimony, and they don't give that testimony, they're chayiv a karbon, called Shavua Sa'idus. So the Gemara says, ay, v'hu aid. So maybe vuhuaid means what? That I'm only obligated to give to, for the shvua sa'idos, if halacha, or this carbon of shvua sa'idos, if I was fit to give testimony from the beginning until the end. V'chitei machanami. Maybe you'll say this is indeed halacha. V'hatayin. But listen to this interesting case. Ha'yodeh be'edos achlo naseh chasno. We'll say, listen to this. Let's say Reuven knows Edos for Yaakov. But then, right before Reuven becomes Yaakov's son-in-law. And then what happens? V'naseh chasno. Then Reuven marries Yaakov's daughter. So we'll say, obviously, as a son-in-law, you cannot give Edos for your father-in-law. That's a karov, right? That's a relative. So v'naseh chasno. Or, pikeach v'naseh v'nischarish. Excuse me. Or we'll say what happens. Reuven, which is the same here. Reuven was pikeach, meaning totally healthy. Then it became a cheresh. Obviously, as a cheresh, you cannot give Edos. Pasuach v'nistamo. He had sight, and then he became blind. Shafoi v'nishtata. He was normal. Then ultimately, again, it became deranged. Hare ze pasul. So both say, in all of these cases, obviously you're pasul. In other words, that if let's say Reuven was not a karov, then became a karov. Reuven was normal, then became deranged. He had sight, then he became blind. So we'll say in all of these cases, he can no longer give edus. Ava, watch this. Ava, hayo yodeh la edus achlo naseh chasno v'naseh chasno v'achra kach tapav yudches meisabito. Pikeach v'nischarish v'chazer v'nispakeach. Pasuach v'nistama v'acharkach v'nispata, shafoi v'nishtata v'chazer v'nishtafa, kosher. Bosa, listen to this. What happens, again, Bosa, in this following situation? Reuven, what? New Edus before he became Yaakov's son-in-law. Then he married Yaakov's daughter, ineligible. Then Nebuch, Yaakov's daughter, passes away. They're no longer related. Reuven had sight, became blind, regained sight. Reuven was normal, became deranged, became normal again. What's the halacha? Kosher. Ultimately, again, he is kosher for Edos Zeaklal. Kol shetchilasa v'sofo b'kashrus kosher. It will say when it comes to Edos, as long as you are kosher in the beginning and the end. Now, beginning and the end means what? Means what? At the time when you witness the event, and at the time when you give testimony at the event, right? Then ultimately, again, you're good to go. Even if in the middle you got messed up. Married, you know, right, the gaya, right, whatever it is, right, something compromised your circumstances there in the middle. It's a good Sheva Brachas Var, it's a good use, it's a good use. Right, so we'll say, ultimately, again, you are still fit. Now, remember, why is this posing a question for us? Because we always, because the Gemara was darshaning that this lashon of who means a continuity of circumstances throughout. Yet you see over here that that's not the case. Shiny Hasam, the Amikra, O Ra'ah, Im Lo Yagid. The pasuk says, if you see and you don't tell, when it comes to Edus Rabbos, the Torah hinges everything on what? Seeing and testifying. Seeing and testifying. So once they're seeing and testifying, that's what matters. So the Gemara says, and we'll say in these cases, there is seeing and there's testifying. When he saw the event, he was kosher. And when he testifies about the event, that's kosher. We don't really care about what happens in the middle of those two events. Ve'elohu v'hu lamali. So we'll say, if that's the case, then why do I need the v'hu by Eidos? L'chidisanya. Here we go. Because I need for the following halacha. Ro'a siya shalbani adam omdin ve'edin meina. Let's listen to this. Let's say I see a group of people. And I know in that group of people are people who know testimony on my behalf. They know Eidos for an event that I need Eidos for. And what happens? I go over to them and I say, I hereby adjure you, speaking to the group, that if you know Edus for me, come and testify on my behalf. And I'll both say, let's say there are members amongst that group who do know Edus but do not come forward. I would have thought that the members of the group who know Edus would be chayiv. So ultimately, again, there is no liability in this case. Why is there no liability in this case? Because I was never miyached. I never specified anyone. I was speaking over here. What I did is, Mashbi'ani Aleichem. I went over to a nondescript group. And because I did not specifically call out anyone specific, therefore, again, if the witnesses fail to give testimony, they are not chayiv. Yochala filu amar, call me. But I will say, if I say the words, what if I would have said, call me? Any one of you who knows Eidos for me needs to come and testify. Tamad lomar v'hu eid, v'hari yichet eidav. So we'll say, that's what v'hu eid teaches me. V'hu eid teaches me as follows, that if halacha l'maaseh, I just go over to a group of people and I say, mashpi'ani aleichem, I adjure you to come and give Eidos for me. And Rabbi say, in that group are people who know Eidos, they don't come forward, they're not chayiv. Why are they not chayiv? Because I did not specify any members of the group. But if I say the words, call me, any one amongst you who knows Eidos for me, needs to come forward. And let's say there are people in that group who know Eidus Mina, they don't come forward, they will be chayiv. Why? Two words, kol mi. Because kol mi ultimately, again, specifies members of the group. Aval b'karbanos ein okein. Supposed to say about b'karbanos, it's not like this. Supposed to say, so remember again, by erchin, essentially what we said is, halacha lemaisa, we look at the circumstances of the person who's making the vow at the time he makes the vow. But by karbanos, it's not like this. By karbanos, we look at your status when you're ready to bring the karban. So also, if a person says, you know, karban alai, I pledge to bring a karban, we don't really look at my financial circumstances at the time I make the commitment. We look at my financial circumstances when? At the time when I'm about to bring the karban. So the Mishnah gave an example of someone, it sounds like the Mishnah was reading it, that his father died and he stood to inherit an incredible amount of money. So the Gemara says, Aviv meis v'nicho lo ribo ashirhu. I don't understand. If the guy's father died and he inherited a lot of money, then he's an ashir. If he's an ashir, if ultimately he's rich, then he should ultimately, again, bring the karban like a rich person. Rabbi Avo, ema maniach lo ribo. No. The case of Osai is where the person in question has a rich father, and when the rich father dies, the son will become fabulously wealthy. But the father has not yet died, and as such, the son himself is still assessed as a poor man. Pshita. So that's obvious. In other words, if the father is not dead, right, then he's not dead. If he's not dead, he could have all the money in the world. And even though we know the son will inherit the father, if the son hasn't inherited the father yet, we look at the son's personal circumstances. Oh, kishaya aviv goses. We'll say, what's the case? The case is where the father was deathly ill. Deathly ill. He's a goses. So goses is someone who's going to die imminently. So I might have thought, mal detema rov goses in lamisa. The majority of people who are in a goses status die. By the way, I just want to point out, this is actually quite fascinating because there's a lot of halachic literature as to contemporarily when do we consider a person a goses. There are many, many, many halachos that govern a goses about moving a person, even touching the goses. So it's interesting because many of the contemporary posts can essentially say that the goses status begins when you would move someone to hospice. But I want to tell you something amazing. It's Maisim Bechol Yom that people come out of hospice. Right? Maisim Bechol Yom people come out of hospice. Also, again, there are different forms of hospice. Long-term hospice, short-term hospice. So it's just interesting to note that this idea of goses, Chazal clearly had like a much narrower definition that was that concept of rov goses in the Misa. But again, just something. Sayyid's putting it on our list for future topics. We'll talk about this on the bus ride to the Siyama Shas. We're going to go through. Have a lot of time. Kamash Malan, to which the Gemara says, even though Rav Gosis and Lamisa, even though the majority of Gosisim die, if the father is alive, he's alive. You see, so ultimately, again, he's not dead. If he's not dead, the son has not yet inherited his fortune, which means that we look at the son's financial situation on his own. Both said, listen to this. This is incredible. So therefore, Svinoso Bayamabalo Baribos, Ashihu. Both said, the next case of Mishnah was, even if he has a boat, and the boat is holding, you know, fortunes and fortunes, or the boat is, right? So ultimately, again, we assess him as a poor man, not as a rich man. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand. Svinoso Bayamabalo Baribos, Ashihu. If the guy in question who's pledged a karban owns a boat, right? I'm going to say, if he owns a boat and there's money on the boat, if you own a boat, you're a wealthy guy. Amr Avchista, kishahaisa mukhreches umuskeres biad achir. Oh, I have a boat, but what? It's leased out. It's leased out, right? It's rented out. Okay. Vaikeschirus. We'll say, if I have a boat and I rented it out, then what does that tell me? Right? I have rental income coming. Right? So again, I should, why would you look at me as a poor person? I have that rental income coming. This is incredible. Schiros in the Mishlamas El Basov. So this is actually quite interesting. At least in Talmudic rentals, the way rentals, and really this is talking about leases. The way leases work is you only paid for a lease at the end. Now, obviously, people could legislate or stipulate other agreements, but in the absence of an explicit agreement, rentals or leases were payable at the end. So therefore, again, I have a boat, it's leased out, I have lease income coming to me, but it's not coming till the end of the duration of the lease. So we don't count that income towards my net value now. We look at me as what I have now. Ella, Vesevokle, Mishum Svina. But 1 second, what about the boat? What about the boat? At the end of the day, I am the proud owner of the boat, right? That is an asset of mine. Why doesn't that contribute ultimately again towards my net value. So this is actually quite amazing. How money, Rabbi, so understand, what we're trying to figure out over here is in the case of karbanos, I have pledged a karban. So the shayla is, whatever the particular karban is, the shayla is, do we assess me as a poor man or as a rich man? So the Gemara is saying, I've got a boat, right? The USS Shmuel Silber, right? This is mamish, like, you know, this is like incredible. So if I have a boat, so I don't understand, by definition, that's an asset. If it's an asset, why wouldn't that, by definition, make me a rich man? So this is actually quite incredible. Haman Rabbi Elezer he, this not Rabbi Elezer Omer, im haya ikar nosin lo tzamudo, v'chamar nosin lo chamoro. Well, this is actually very interesting. When we assess, in different situations in halacha, when we assess you to try to figure out if you have money or not, what we generally do is we do not count the asset that you use to generate your income. So for example, if a person is a farmer, we don't go ahead and look at his yoke as a liquid asset, right? As a liquid asset. If he is a donkey driver, we don't look at his donkey as a liquid asset. So it's actually quite interesting. Whatever you use to generate your income cannot be looked at as a liquid asset to determine whether or not you have money for karbanic purposes, which is really very interesting. Why? Because I will say, for a simple reason, why? It's not liquid. I can sell it because that's ultimately, again, how I generate my income. So we'll say, so if I make my money through leasing out my boat is not really a liquid asset. It's not money in the bank for me. Why? Because it is the very vehicle through which I generate my parnasa. So we'll say, so even if I own the boat, if it's how I generate my parnasa, we do not look at that in terms of the liquid assets, when in terms of assessing me for carbonic purposes. It's really quite amazing, very interesting. Says the Mishnah, Hashanim Benidar. I'll say this Mishnah is building off the previous Mishnah. So when we said before that ultimately, again, when back to Erech, we're focusing on it, we're all Erechin all the time. That's us. So we'll say, so again, when we look at the value of the Erechin vow, so we look at the age of the subject of the vow. Ketzad, Yelet Sheerech Zakin, Nosin Erech Zakin. If you have a young man who pledged the Erechin value of an old man. So ultimately, again, the obligation of the Erechin is for the Erechin of an old man. V'zakin sherech es hayeled, nosin erech yeled. Similarly, again, if an old man pledged the Erechin of a young man, the old man is on the hook for the young man's value. Ha'erechin b'nerach, so we'll say, what does it mean when we say the Erechin b'nerach? Ketzad, ish sherech ha'isha, nosin erech isha. If a man pledged the Erechin value of a woman, he gives the erchin value of a woman. Isha sherech ish, no sin as erech ish. A woman pledges the erchin value of a man, she gives the erchin value of the man. Shabbos says, so again, this is all the same concept. When you make an erchin vow, the value of, or the amount of your obligation is dependent on the person who is the subject of your erech vow. Essentially, we do not look at the donor. Rather, we look at the subject. The only time the donor comes into play is when? If he's poor. If he's poor. That's the time he comes into play. If he's poor and he comes up to the coin and says, I can't pay the full value of the erech, that's when we look at the donor's particular circumstances. But absent that, everything is about the person who is the subject of the vow. Next, bizmana erech, va'erech bizmana erech keitzad, herichu pachos yiben chamish, v'nase yesa ben chamish, pachos yiben esim, v'nase yesa ben esim, no sin kizmana erech. Well, this is a fascinating halacha. So we'll say, furthermore again, when do we determine the value of your erech vow? At the time you make it. So we'll say, in general, when you go ahead and you make commitments to tzedakah, based on mikdash tzedakah, what's talacha? You pay it as quickly as you can. That's generally, again, a din. It's not just din in staka. It's a din in nedarim. Right? Whenever you make a neder, so there's an idea of ultimately fulfilling your neder as quickly as you can, as quickly as possible. So says the Gemara something amazing. Let's say I pledge the vow of a child less than 5 years old. That's the right. So that erech vow is worth X. By the time I get around to paying off my erech vow, the kid is bar mitzvah, okay, whatever, right? Or it would be so dramatic, right? He's 7 years old. So I'll say, so ultimately, how do I pay? How do I pay? I pay at the time that I made the vow, right? The Erechin vow is locked in at the time that the vow is made. So even if the subject of the vow has now gotten considerably older and aged out of that bracket, The value of the vow is locked in for the time that I made it. Good. Says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Here we go. Remember again, in our world of vows, let's go back to the beginning of the Masechta. There are two fundamental type of valuation vows. There is what's called Erchin and Damim. The nafkamina between them, Erchin, locked in. Fixed objective values that just vary according to gender and age. Damim, totally subjective, literally dependent on the value of the individual based on how much they could fetch if they were sold as a servant. So I will say, there are many circumstances in which we compare damim to erchin. So for example, margalis the kala. Both say, this is a fascinating halacha. Fascinating halacha. So let's say, both say, halacha lemaisa, I made an erchin vow, and I went ahead and I can't pay it. The only asset I have to my name to satisfy this debt ultimately is a jewel. If I go ahead and I sell the jewel, the jewel here, it's going to fetch a lower price. If I travel a couple of cities away, I could fetch a higher price. The halacha is we do not make you travel to another city to go ahead and redeem the value, to get top dollar for the jewel. Rather, we allow you to sell it where you are. Incredible halacha. That's true both by erchin and by damim. Veleidon b'chvodo. Both say similarly again, if you make an erchin vow, I hereby pledge the erech vow of the head of Reuven. If you go ahead and you pledge the erchin of a vital organ or a vital part of the body, that counts as what? An erchin on the whole person. Same thing with damim. So both say, I might have thought that halacha l'maisa, once you go ahead and play, right, since we compare erchin and damim in these circumstances, yochol nakish erchin l'damim, she's sheyitim kishas nesina. Both say, there's another important halacha. When it comes ultimately again to damim, right, a damim vow is literally assessed at the time that you're ready to pay the money. So both say, so if I pledge the damim of Reuven, when I show up to the Beis HaMikdash and ready to pay that vow, we look at how much could Reuven fetch on the open market today. Today, right? Not at the time that I made the vow, but today. So I might have thought that by Erchin it should be the same thing as well. Not at the time that you make the Erchin vow, but at the time that you're ready to pay. So we'll say, this is one of the areas when Erchin or Damim are different. A Damim vow will be assessed at the time that you come to pay it, but Erchin vow is assessed how? At the time you make it. Rabbi say, very, very, very important piece of halacha l'maisa. The value of an erchin liability is locked in at the time you make the erech vow. Masha'in king domim is assessed at the time when? That you come to actually pay up your obligation. Mishnah, yom shloshim kilimat. Rabbi says, it's in fasting halacha. The 30th day, and remember again, erchin is all based on categories, right? So for example, again, we assume that for erchin purposes, only a child from 30 days and up has a valuation. Less than 30 days does not. So it says Zimara said Yom Shloshim Kilamate Menu. So ultimately again, if you pledge the value of a 30-day child, that's like treated like under 30, and therefore such a child has no erchin value. So if you pledge the value of the child on the 30th day, that's ki'ilu, you pledge the value of a child on the 6th day. And therefore, again, such an erchin vow has no value. Kilamate menu. Shnas chamesh, shnas esrim, kilamata. We'll say similarly, again, a 5-year-old, a 20-year-old. So we'll say, what essentially what the Mishnah is teaching me is like this. That when we round up, that when we say, right, a child of 5 years old, right, that ultimately, you know, what that really means is 6. Really, it means, right, it's from the 6th year and on, right? The full, complete 5 years. From the 6th year and on, you are into a new category. From your 21st year and on, 20 complete years and on, you are in a new category. A 5-year-old, right, a child who turned 5 is actually in the lower category. A person who turned 20 is in the lower category. So the Gemara says, Shene'emar, ve'im miben shishim shana v'malo. Because we'll say, where do we learn all this out from? We're doing this out ultimately again from the 60-year-old. What does the pasuk say? If from 60 years old, vamala. They're both saying what we understand what that means to mean is what? What? The 61st year. Right? Essentially, the category is from the 21st year and through the 61st year, you are a category. From 61st year is when you've aged out into the most senior category of erchin, which again, your valuation is 15 shekel. So the Gemara says, "Hari anelamed debekulon mishnas shishim, mashnas shishim kilamate menu." Just like the 60th year, meaning when you turn 60, you haven't phased out; you're still in your same category. Afshnas chamesh ushnas esrim kilamate menu. So to ultimately, again, when you turn 5 and when you turn 20, you are also still part of the lower categories. So the Gemara says, "Im asa shnas shishim kilamate menu lahachmir." Now, here's the interesting part. By saying that a 60-year-old is still included in the category, that's a chumrah. Why is that a chumrah? Because you're still giving him the highest erchin value. So in the Gemara says, Shnas chamesh ushnas esim kilamatim yana lahakel. Well, I just want to point out, by pushing a 5-year-old into the lower category and the 20-year-old into the lower category, essentially what are you doing? You're being makel. Why are you being makel? You're giving them a lower value. Nevertheless, Talmud Lomar, Shana Shana L'Gzera Shava. We'll say it's L'Gzera Shava of Shana Shana. Ma Shana Amura B'Shnas Shishim Kilamata, Av Shana Amura K'Mishnas Chamesh B'Shnas Esrim Kilamata Mimenu. Bein Lahakel, Bein Lahachmir. The L'Gzera Shava, we'll say, Shana Shana tells you that ultimately, again, just like in order to phase out into the senior bracket of Erchin, it's Mishishim Shana Ulamala. What's the Lashon again? I'm sorry. Ve'imi ben shishim shana v'malo. So we'll say v'malo, we understand to mean not the 60th year, but what? 60 complete years. You move into the next bracket at the 61st year. We begin to understand that's true with all the other age brackets as well. 5 is another beginning of an age bracket. That actually means complete 5 years, the 6th year. 20 is the beginning of another age bracket. It actually means what? The 21st year. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Achi Yiseros Al Hashanim Chodesh V'Yomechad. Rabbi Eliezer says something amazing about saying, not only does it mean what? That you have to be 26 years old, 21 years old, and 61 years old to phase out into the next bracket, but actually, you need what? It's really 6 years old and 1 month. 21 years old and 1 month. 61 years old and 1 month and a day. It's really a month and a day. We'll see why. So the Gemara says, Mufna, this Gzir Shevav Shana Shana, it must be open. We'll say Mufna means it's not used for any other drasha. Therefore, it can be used ultimately again to make this Gzir Shevav. Because otherwise, Ikala Mifrach, Kidabar Chinon. Ultimately, you know, we'll say, otherwise, I can make a Pircha. What's the Pircha? By Shishim, it's a Chumrah. By the other cases, it's a kula. It must be that the Shana Shana is open to make it the Gzera Shava. To which the Gemara says, Shana Shana Yisera Ksivi, Salayim Masi Isn't Look Ki Rebbe. You're about to say, our Mishnah must not reflect the view of Rebbe. Why? Because what does Rebbe say? Di'i Rebbe, Ha'amar Ad Va'ad Bichlal. You're about to say, Rebbe in general holds that whenever we say something is until always means what? Until and including. Right? Until and including. This Sanya, Miyomarishon Vadyomashvi. Vosted this term by the Isra of Chametz. Says from the first day until the seventh day. Yochol Rishon Velo Rishon Bichlal. I might have thought that the first day means the first day, but not including the first day. Shvi'i Velo Shvi'i Bichlal. The seventh day, and not including the seventh day. Ke'inyon Amud Beis. Ke'inyon Shene Emar. Me Roshova Ad Raglov. Roshovelo Rosho Bichlal. Raglav bichlal. Rabbi says this is about tzaras, right? Tzaras that ultimately, when speaking about tzaras, which covers the entire body, the pasuk says from his head to his feet. But while Darsh, we're going to explain, it actually means tzaras that begins below his head, not including his head, and above his feet. That's tzaras of the whole body. So I might have thought that just like Meroshova ad Raglav doesn't include the head and the feet, so too from the first day and the seventh day, Rabbi says those are the bookends. Right, anything in between the first day and the seventh day as an Isra Chametz, i.e. days 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, but not days 1 and 7. Talmud Lomar, Ad Yom Ha'echad Ve'esrim L'chodesh Ba'erev. There was the pasuk gives a calendrical date, right? Until the 21st day of the month, until the evening. Which tells me that what? That Allah Chalamaysa, the first and seventh days are included as well. Rabbi Omer Rabbi says, I don't need this whole drasha. Rishon, Rishon Bichlal. Shvi'i Vishi Bichlal. Because Rabbi holds Ad Va'ad Bichlal. Whenever the Torah tells you dates, those dates are up to and included. So therefore, when it says from the first day to the seventh day, it automatically includes what? Day number one and day number seven. So Rabbi says, so the fact that we need a gzer shav of shana to teach me that ultimately, again, it's, let's say, up until the fifth year and including the fifth year, means not like Rebbe, because Rebbe would hold that that's pashit. Whenever you see a shir and it's until something, until always means what? Until and including. To which the Gemara says, afilu tema Rebbe, maybe we'll say it even includes Rebbe, shakulei mishkalei kroi. Because Rebbe will say that the psukim themselves are of equal weight. Rashi says, "Shkulin kina midrashas michtei ksiv mi ben chodesh va'ad ben chamish shanim." Bosa it says from 1 month until 5 years. V'su mi ben chodesh va'ad ben chav lamali. So Bosa, if that's the case, why do I need mi ben chodesh ad ben chav? Hilchach ishtaklu luhu. Therefore, we'll say, essentially, the psukim themselves are a bit ambiguous and can be darshaned either way. So, meaning they can be darshaned as up until and including, or not, or up until and not including. So therefore, even Rebbe will agree that you need shana shana, you need the gzera shava. Because we'll say, the one verse that is absolutely explicit is what? Vimi ben shishim shana v'mala. So, ben shishim shana v'mala, we'll say, clearly tells you that what? That the oldest bracket for Erchin does not begin until when? The 61st year. Once I know that, then the Gzer Shav of Shana Shana teaches me that that is true for every other bracket as well. The five-year-old bracket only begins really from 5 years old, from 5 years and 1 year, from the sixth year and on. The 20-year bracket really only begins when? From the 21st year. Now we jump back for just a moment to Tzaras. Plus, it's very interesting. This is fascinating. I'm so happy we learned this because I always thought that the case of Tzaras that overtakes the entire body literally is what? The entire body, from the head to the toes. Now we're telling us, no, it actually means the entire body excluding the head and the feet. How do you know that? So, Ibai Seima, Shiny Simonim, Degufo, Misimonim, Derosho. It's quite possible that there's a separate halacha. The simanim of tzaras of the head and the feet are different than tzaras of the rest of the body. So therefore, if you're talking about tzaras the gufo, it must be talking about the body excluding the head and the feet. Or the other possibility is, ibar seima l'chol mara eni akoin. Well, say, this is fascinating. Tzaras aguf is the Gemara says, talks about tzaras that can be seen by the kohen. The kohen can't automatically see the tzaras in the head, because again, if the tzaras is under the hair, the kohen might not automatically be able to see it. Similarly, again, if the tzaras is on the bottom of the feet, the kohen would not be automatically able to see it. Good. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Ad Shiyuseros Al Hashanim Chodesh Yomecher. So Rabbi Elazar says, not only, so we'll say, this is, remember again, this is Halacha L'maisa. This dramatically changes our life, because now what we begin to see is, 5 years old doesn't mean 5 years old, it really means what? Six. 20 doesn't mean 20, it really means what? 21. And 60 doesn't mean 60, but rather it means 61. Rabbi Eliezer says, by the way, it's not just that, it's up 6 years old, a month and a day. 21 years old, a month and a day. 61 years old, a month and a day. So the Gemara says, where does he get that? From Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer ne'emar kan lamaylo, v'ne'emar lahalon, chodesh v'malo. So we'll say, this is incredible. So this, by the way, we'll say, is a totally different context. The pasuk he's quoting over here is Pekod es b'nei Levi lebeis avosam lemishpachosam kol zachar mi ben chodesh v'malah tif g'dein. We'll say, this is about redemption of the Levim, right? Redemption of the Levim. The Levim are counted and redeemed from the age of 1 month and a day. So Rabbi Eliezer makes this wild gzeir shava. It says over here by Erchin Lamalo, and it says ultimately again by Leviim, Chodesh Vamalo, Ma'alahalon, Miben Chodesh V'yom Echad. Just like by Leviim, the significant unit of time is 1 month and a day. Afkan Chodesh V'yom Echad. So to over here by Erchin, the gzeir shava teaches me that in addition to the Lamalo that I learned from Shishim, there's an additional Lamalo of what? Of a month and a day as well. Ve'ema Kihasam. I don't understand. So if you want to compare it, say like this. Ma hasam yom chad yoma, afkan chad yoma. I'll say, so why not say by the Levim, so the month is the unit of time, the additional amount is what? Is the day. So just say, Rabbi Eliezer, add on a day, Imkin gzeira shava mayahani. If that's the case, then what good does the gzeira shava do for me? Look at Rashi. Gzeira shava mayahani li. Below gzeira shava yadana dechad yoma ba'inon daha umma'aloksib. So both say, ma'aloh already teaches me that halach lamaisa has to be some additional unit of time. If it's not the month and a day and it's just the day, I would know that even without the gzeira shava. So both say, this is the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Tan rabbanon. Shana mura bekachim. So both say, we're gonna finish up the parak in Mirtz Hashem. Thank you. Hey, I just want to point out the Rambam does not paskin like this Rabbi Eliezer, right? So ultimately, again, we paskin Rabbi Eliezer like the Gzeira Shava, and the Gzeira Shava tells me that it is 30 days in one day. That is true because that's be the 31st day because the 30th day is counted like beforehand. But we don't add on the additional month and the day of Rabbi Eliezer. But what we do paskin is for Erchin purposes, the categories really begin at the age of 6. And go to 21, and then from 21 to 61, and you only phase out at from the senior Erchin bracket at the age of 61. Here we go, Basay, to finish up. Tana Rabbanan, Shana Amura Bekachim, Shana Ha'amura Bebatei Arechoma. Now we're going to talk about this follows the year that we speak about by Karbanos. Right, Rabosa, which speaks about, again, the age of certain karbanos has to be within a year. You can only offer an animal that is a year old. Similarly, again, the year that is spoken about by homes sold in a walled city. Rabosa, if you sell a home in a walled city, you have 1 year to redeem that home. If you do not redeem that home within the year, the halacha is it is sold forever and does not return to you even during the Yovel. Shtei shanam shebesad achuza. Rabosa, if you sell an ancestral field, you have 2 years to redeem that field. Right? I'm sorry, just the opposite. You have 2 years in which you cannot redeem that field, right? The first 2 years after the sale, you can't redeem it. You have to let the buyer hold on to it. After, you can redeem it. And 6 years that we speak about, again, when you buy an Eved Ivri, the 6 years of the sale. And I will say, similarly again, we're dealing with the son and the daughter. We'll see what those cases are. We'll say, incredible halacha. In general, whenever we speak about time, there's always a fundamental tension. How are we measuring that time? Are we measuring the time calendrically, or are we measuring it, we'll call it chronologically? Calendrically means that there is a calendar beginning, calendar end. So a year is defined as the year 5779. It begins in Tishrei, ends at the end of Elul. Or what we do, me'is la'is. Me'is la'is means that time is based on me, on my personalistic circumstances. The Gemara says all of these years that we've discussed are all what we call me'is la'is. They are measured on their own, not calendrically. So where do we know this? Shana Amur B'Kachim. We'll say when it comes to Karbanos, Minolon, Amar Avach, Abar Yaakov, Omakra, Keves Ben Shnoso. The pasuk says you have to bring a Keves that is 1 year. It doesn't say Ben Shana. It says what? Ben Shnoso, possessive. Which teaches me what? Shnoso Shalo V'lo Shal Minyan. Its own year, right? Its own personalistic chronology. Right? Personalistic chronology, right? 365, but based on its own birth, not based on the calendar. What about the year with the sale of a home in a walled city? You have 1 year to redeem it, 1 year from the sale. 1 year, we'll say, began from the sale, from the real estate, my real estate transaction, not a calendar year. We'll say, what about, again, the 2 years? If I sell a piece of ancestral land, I can't go in and redeem it for 2 years. Because the pasuk says, literally again, for two crop seasons is what I sell it for. So the Gemara says, Pamim shadam ochel shalosh tivos b'shtei shanim. So we'll say sometimes again a person could even have 3 crops within 2 years. Sheish sheba eved ivri. What about the 6 years of an eved ivri? So ultimately, dichsiv sheish shanim yavod ubashvius. We'll say for 6 years the eved will work, and on the 7th year he goes free. So the Gemara says, Zimnin debishvias nami yavon. We'll say it's possible to have a situation where even in the 7th calendrical year, the eved is still working. V'sheba ben v'sheba bas. And we'll say, what about with the son and with the daughter? Kulan me'es la'es. And we'll say, all of these ultimately again are ultimately again personalistic chronological years, not calendrical years. Amrav Gidl, Amrav, excuse me, Lamai Hilchasa. I will say, what's the nafkamina over here? So the Gemara says, Gidl said the name of Rav, Le'erchin. Ultimately, again, this applies to Erchin. So we'll say, Dalo Azlina Bishnas Chamesh Ve'esim Vishishin Basim Minyan Olam. We'll say, so for Erchin purposes, when assessing the age ultimately, again, of the individual, we do not look at objective, right, objective calendrical years, but rather we look at the person's actual age. So the Gemara says, Rav Yosef Amar lepirkin di Yotzei Dofen. Rav Yosef says, it's for the lessons that we learn in Perek Yotzei Dofen. What are the lessons we learn in Perek Yotzei Dofen? Look at Rashi. Lepirkin di Yotzei Dofen. Meseches Nida ben Yud Beisharon Nidarav Nivdokin ben Yud Gimel Nidarav Nivdokin. Ba'an Achar Asrei Nidar Nivdokin Ba'ashtim Asrei Nidar Kayamin Vechin Habishal. So both say, Salocha Lamaisa. Well, we get to a certain age, or even potentially before bar or bas mitzvah, you could have a situation where a young person's nedarim are valid. We have to check them for a level of comprehension. When they reach a certain age, how is that age determined? That is not determined calendrically, but rather it's determined by what? By the personalistic chronology. You should both say it's determined by your birthday. And as well, so what the Gemara is saying over here is your age is not dependent ultimately, again, just simply by the way the calendar works, but rather, again, your age is determined by the day in which you're born, your personalistic chronology. To which the Gemara says, by the Rav Yosef, mi pligaso, do Rav Yochanan and Rav, are they arguing? Amrale lo, ana amrichada, vu amrichada. No, we're just talking about two different applications of the same concept. This seems to be clear. Because if you would think that they argue, man damrale erchin lo, amrale yotzei dofen. Are you going to say that the one who holds that we look at personal chronology for Erechin doesn't hold by the dinim of Neder as well, but on the din of Yotzei Dofen? And we'll say, Yotzei Dofen is the name of the Perek. V'amarav hilchasa b'kula pirka, ne'is la'is. We'll say all of these halachas, ultimately again, we pass him that age is determined me'is la'is, not by calendrical reality, but by personal chronology. So the opinion who has said that we look at personal chronology for Erchin, why does he not subscribe to the idea of the lessons taught in Meseches Nida? Dumya dahanach, because he wanted to compare it to the other cases in these categories. Mahanach tiksiva, just like the previous cases, we're talking about by situations that are written in the Torah. Af hanach tiksiva. So too, he wanted to apply to a case that is also written in the Torah. The cases of Meseches Nida are not written in the Torah, but the case of Erchin is. V'idach, the other opinion will say, Isagadaitcha kidiksiva. So we'll say, if you want to say, that we're only talking about kids that are written in the Torah. Hai sheben shebebebas, top of yotes, shebezachar b'shenekeva meboile. Then if that's the case, it shouldn't have used the lashon ultimately again of ben and bas. Rather, it should have used the lashon of zachar and nekeva, because that's the biblical lashon that you use ultimately to describe men and women. Umayshna nekeva. So now the Gemara, okay, pause. Take a breath. Finish the end of the Masechta. So we'll say, so bottom line, what came out of this, so we'll say, is this Braisa was a self-contained Braisa, just telling me that halacha lemaisa, all of these situations, when we speak about Shana by Kodshim, Karbanos, Shana by Bate Arechoma, ultimately, again, the sale of home in walled cities, ultimately, again, the years dealing with selling a piece of ancestral land that you cannot redeem for 2 years, and the 6 years of an Evet Ivri, ultimately, again, all of those years, I will say, are not calendrical years, but rather subjective chronological years that begin at the time the transaction begins. The Gemara that Bryce also ends off and says, and the years of a Ben and a Bas are also not objective calendrical years, but are subjective personal chronological years. What's the case of Ben and Bas? Two possibilities. Either what? It's referring to Erchin, that when gauging the age of the subject of the Erchin vow, we don't look at objective calendrical years, but rather subjective personal chronological age. Or the case that was brought down in Meseches Nida, that when looking to see if a young person is able to make a vow, we assess their comprehension for their age. How do we assess their age? Not objective chronological years, but rather subjective personal chronology. Fine. Now they're both saying the Gemara is off. Umashna nekeva, dechi miskina kaima atilsa, umashna zachar delo kai atilsa. They'll say, this is amazing. What, there's a significant difference in the senior age bracket for men and for women. A man from the age of 20 to 60 is at 50 shekel. When he reaches the age of, now we know it's 61 and a day. So what happens? He goes down to 15. A woman, on the other hand, we'll say, if you look at Rashi, Maishna, Rashi says, Be'erchin denekeva ki mizakna yosra al shishim kaima atilsa. De'erach yolda shloshim shekel ve'achzekena aser shkalim. So between the ages of 20 and 60, so a woman is valued at 30 shekel, but yet when she gets to 61, she's at 10 shekel. Why does a man suffer a much, or not suffer, why does a man
depreciate,
right? Why does a man's value decrease much more significantly from the right in the 60 and above bracket than a woman's? Right? That's the fundamental shaila. Right? A man suffers more than a 2/3 decrease, right? He goes from 50 to 15. A woman goes from 30 to 10. Why do they suppose that is an incredible Gemara? Amar Chizkiya, because everyone knows, in she saba bebesa, pacha bebesa. I will say, when there is an old man in the home, there is an incredible burden in the house. Right? Essentially, old men are worth very little. So right, the Gemara says, Rashi says, pacha shever she'eno elo lemasa, is a burden. Right? Sometimes, again, when men become older, they become a shtickle useless. Right? And therefore, ultimately, again, become a burden on the home. However, again, safta bebesa, when there is an older woman in the house, sima bebesa. Rashi says, ultimately, matmon. There's a treasure in the house. Listen to this. It's incredible. Sheyachola litrach velasos melacha biziknusa. So I will say, listen to this. Apparently, when men get old, they krechts and complain about being unable to do stuff. When women get old, they are still able to do all of the same stuff. Right? So therefore, again, says the Gemara, therefore, when a man reaches above the age of 61, he significantly depreciates because he's now become baggage, right? Versus a woman when she gets above the age of 61, Baruch Hashem, is still able to do many of the same things that she was able to do in her youth. And therefore, again, the depreciation is much less. Hadrin Allah, Hasi Hadra. What's that? Mamish, an incredible accomplishment. You go from your Zion, Shkoya. Yeah. That's a good shot of Rakhazar. That one you could use. That one you could use.
Don't point out. Don't point out.